Waves roll up on a rocky shoreline. V.C. Andrews' Dawn, Chapter 3, Twilight's Child.
Sending my baby Christy away was the last in a series of horrible things Grandmother Cutler had done to me before she died. But I got her back.
It's 1975. Jimmy's weathered green Valiant pulls up the Cutler's Cove Hotel driveway. It pulls to a stop outside the front entrance, next to a valet podium.
Now I was coming back to Cutler's Cove, hoping to banish the horrors of Grandmother in the Meadows from our lives forever.
In the passenger seat, Dawn cradles her baby, Christy. Jimmy, wearing a leather jacket, smiles as he jumps out of the driver's seat, walks around the car, and opens the door for Dawn. Leaning over, he carefully lifts Christy from Dawn's arms as she climbs out. Moments later, in the hotel lobby, they are greeted by Mrs. Boston.
Look at that. You got her.
Hi, Miss Boston. This is my daughter, Christy.
Hand her over now. I gotta let me hold that baby.
Oh. Mrs. Boston takes Christy from Dawn's arms.
The hotel's still so empty.
We thought we'd wait till you came back before we reopened.
Why?
You remember the hotel was left to you in the will.
Yes, but I don't know how to run a hotel.
Well, I guess you're gonna have to learn then, aren't you?
Sometime later, in her well-appointed suite, Dawn gently lowers Christy into a wicker crib next to the bed.
Hey, sis.
Clara Jean appears.
Grandma tried to get rid of her, but guess you got your bastard back.
Aren't you even a little embarrassed?
Embarrassed about what? Well, it seems like you're being passed from guy to guy. I mean, whoever the father of this one is, and then before that, what's his name? The guy that you thought was your brother? And then before that, Philip, your actual brother. I mean, people might talk, Dawn.
I don't care what people talk about. I care about that little girl. I care about Jimmy. And that's it. Oh, and by the way, you ever call my daughter a bastard again, and it'll be the last thing you ever say.
That sounds like a physical threat, Dawn. You're a big-time hotel owner now. You can't be talking.
You're right. I'm the boss. Watch your mouth or I'll have you thrown out.
How's that? You can't kick me out. Grandpa's will said any Cutler can live here as long as they want.
Well, the will didn't say anything about you coming into my room as you please. So get lost, Clara Jean.
Clara Jean turns to leave, then spins around.
Just don't get too settled, thinking that you actually own this place, Dawn. There's always another shoe to drop.
Clara Jean turns and walks out. Sometime later, Dawn stands in Lillian's old office. Looking across the room past Lillian's desk by the bay window and fireplace, her gaze lands on Lillian's framed portrait. Her grandmother's stern expression stares back at her. Flashback.
Does your voice work?
I just don't understand why you're treating me like a derelict who walked in off the street.
Do you think you ought to be treated like some long-lost princess?
Back in the present, Dawn steels herself. Walking over to Lillian's desk, she sinks into her leather chair. With daylight bathing the room from the bay window, Lillian's dark-stained wooden desk sits with two old-fashioned lamps set on either side. In the middle, towards the back of the table, sits Lillian's large, white, rotary-style phone adorned with gold trim. Across the room, Lillian's hard expression stares at Dawn from its frame as Dawn pulls out Lillian's checkbook and file folders from a drawer.
Okay. It's just a hotel.
Later, Dawn confers with hotel staff members.
I just think it makes more sense to get an answering service. Or, for that matter, a better phone system.
Who do I call for that?
I don't know. Phone system people?
Okay, I'll look into it.
Dawn moves down the line.
Can we discuss something a little bit more urgent, please?
Mm-hmm.
If next week someone orders a steak, we'll be serving them an empty plate. Until the trucker strike ends, we need to find a different vendor or buy a few cows.
Okay, yeah, I will check into Vendors. Thank you.
Can I just reiterate that until you get the financials worked out, phone systems and cows are going to have to wait. We need to open up, like yesterday. Or in 3 months, we'll be insolvent.
Okay, I understand. Just, what does insolvent mean again?
Later, as Dawn looks through the hotel's ledger, Randolph approaches.
Dawn!
Randolph.
I have some great news.
Oh, thank God I can use it.
I found a way to save the hotel 5 cents on every 4 boxes we've been buying. This detergent has a higher density per volume than this one.
5 cents?
Mm-hmm.
Randolph, do you have any idea the financial trouble the hotel is in?
Well, yes, this would help, wouldn't it?
Are you all right?
I'm perfectly fine, Mother.
Dawn's face falls.
I really must share this news with the rest of the staff.
Stunned, Dawn watches as Randolph hurries off with his boxes of detergent. Later, Dawn sits outside in the hotel garden. Cradling her chin with her hands, Jimmy approaches from behind.
What are you doing out here all by yourself?
Hiding. I can't do this.
Yes, you can. What are we talking about?
The hotel, it's just...
Dawn stands up.
It's too much.
You know, there's no law that says you have to run this hotel. You wanted to sing.
Yeah, but that was before. We've got Christy now, and I want her to have the stable life that we didn't.
Professional singers can't have families?
I don't know, it seems so trivial now. I just feel like Cutler's Cove is like... I mean, if I can get this place running like it should, then that is the best chance we can give her. And not just her. For us too, you know? And maybe we can get Fern back.
I think that if that's what you want, let's do it. You'll have this place running like a machine by the time I get back. Mm.
Can't you remind the army that the war's over and they don't need you anymore? You can't leave me now.
1 month. That's it. Then I'm back for good. You can hold us down. In the meantime, I was thinking maybe you could wear something. Let you know that I'm thinking about you out there.
He drops to one knee.
Dawn.
And pulls out a ring.
Will you marry me?
Yes!
Yeah? Really?
Yes, yes, yes!
She throws her arms around him.
Yes.
Give me your finger.
Jimmy slides the ring on Dawn's finger. They kiss once more.
We've had a lousy past. Let's make a great future.
They embrace. Sometime later, Dawn steps onto the back patio outside, finding her mother sitting with a man.
Mother? I'm glad to see you're feeling better and socializing.
Dawn, you should know Mr. Bronson Alcott. He is a very old friend of mine. In fact, his bank holds the mortgage on the hotel.
It's a pleasure.
Dawn shakes his hand.
I hope you're paid up.
This month at least. And the pleasure's all mine.
Forgive me, but do you mind if I have a few words with my mother in private?
Dawn, there's no need for privacy with Bronson. He's been acquainted with his family since, before we were a family.
Well, it's about Randolph. He's not...
Dawn sits on a chair.
He's just been behaving strangely lately.
Yes, he is still grieving his mother. He gets like that. Sometimes, Dawn, he'll snap out of it. What the devil is on your finger?
Jimmy proposed.
Jimmy? Your soldier friend?
My soldier fiance.
Dawn, he hasn't got a penny.
We'll be fine.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's bad enough you turned me into a grandmother before my time.
Now, Lord Jean, don't put lines in your lovely face. You know as well as anyone, the heart sometimes knows better than the mind.
So, when is it that you plan on marrying this boy
We haven't set a date yet, but I'd marry him today.
You don't plan on going to some justice of the peace.
We haven't discussed it.
Oh, no. Don, this absolutely will not do. If you are getting married, you're going to have a real wedding. Right here.
We'll make it a huge event.
Oh, I will take care of everything.
Dawn returns to her suite.
I'm back. How's my baby girl?
Dawn freezes as Miss Emily turns around, holding baby Christy.
What are you doing here?
Mrs. Boston replies.
I'm just looking after this little angel like you asked me to.
Oh, Miss Boston, I'm sorry. For a second, I thought you were somebody else.
Nope. Same old me.
She hands the baby to Dawn.
Thank you for looking after Christy.
This baby is never a hardship for me.
Dawn puts Christy in her crib.
You've grown up so much. I mean, look at you. You're a mother and a businesswoman.
Yeah, and I'm scared to death of being both.
Oh, nonsense. When your grandmother took charge of Cutler's Cove, she was a lot shakier than you. And I am certain Lillian wasn't capable of anything that you aren't, my dear.
Thank you.
Mrs. Boston smiles kindly.
I did want to ask. I just met one of Mother's friends, Bronson Alcott. Do you know anything about him?
No. Oh. I guess I'm the source of all your gossip around here, aren't I?
I'm just curious. They seem to be pretty chummy.
I don't know much about Mr. Alcott, but I know that they went way back.
How far back?
Pretty far. He was always around here, and then I didn't see so much of him anymore. About the time that Clara Jean was born.
Even as a baby, Clara Jean drove people away.
It is daytime as the hotel and garden is now filled with guests.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Cutler's Cove Resort.
Dawn enters the lobby.
Mr. and Mrs. Garvey, it's so lovely to see you again. Your room is ready.
Thank you, Miss Cutler. It's great to be back.
Mrs. Bradley, please look after the Garveys, room 283. Oh, Edgar, I thought we were going to trim the rose bushes.
Nice on the list, Miss Cutler.
Thank you. Mr. Nussbaum, I was just coming to see you. How are we doing on the Crawford event for tomorrow?
How well could it be coming when the new mixer has not arrived yet?
Have you checked the loading dock? It's been sitting there since 9 a.m.
It would have been nice if they told me.
With the chambermaid in tow, Dawn makes her way to her now redecorated office.
Just give me 10 minutes and I'll deal with it. Thank you.
As the chambermaid leaves, Dawn looks down at her clipboard.
Yes? What can I do for you?
I'd let you know, but I think you would blush.
She hugs Jimmy.
That was the longest month in human history. Please tell me you're back for good.
I'm a civilian again.
They kiss.
Wow. Look at you.
I curled my hair and made some changes.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I love it. That said, you could probably shave it all off and you'd still be beautiful. Please don't do that, though.
They kiss once more. Moments later, they lie on Dawn's bed.
Hey, you haven't even asked for my trip.
That's only because I couldn't care less.
She unbuttons his pants.
Dawn, slow down.
Hey,
slow down.
Listen to me, pal. We have been here so many times, and every time you tell me to wait. So, unless you have a war injury you haven't told me about yet, it's go time, soldier.
She kisses him passionately.
Dawn. I get it. You're not my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally past that wall.
Okay.
And if now's the time, I'm very easy to convince.
Now's the time.
It's just...
He pushes her off.
Listen. We're getting married in 2 weeks. And we waited this long. I just thought maybe we could do one traditional thing when the rest of our lives have been anything but that. I just want to do this right, you know?
To punish you for being the most romantic man alive, I'm going to agree to wait.
Well,
jumping off the bed, Dawn retrieves her high-heeled shoes and gives Jimmy a jaunty salute before walking out. Rolling his eyes, Jimmy covers his face with a pillow. Later, in the lobby...
Please, sir, let me help you with that.
No. I told you, I'm fine.
Hey, Randolph, what's happening?
I'll take care of the weapons, sir.
He takes a machete from Randolph. Blood drips from Randolph's hand.
Oh, I nicked my hand.
Wait, this is more than a nick.
We call the doctor, Miss Cutler.
Thank you, Mrs. Bradley.
It's just only that my mother loves the ocean so much, and I tried to clear some bushes away to give her a better view from the sound.
Where she is.
That's fine, Randolph. Let's get you to a doctor, okay?
Have we met?
Dawn looks at Randolph in shock. Later, as she enters her office, Dawn finds Philip sitting at her desk.
Sorry. Did I scare you?
What do you want, Philip?
How about a hug for your brother? I hardly ever see you anymore.
How about not? Get out of my chair. You know your father's not well.
He'll be all right.
He's not right in the head. He needs to see another kind of doctor.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Like Mother would ever run the risk of people finding out her husband is seeing a shrink.
Look, I have a million things to do, so...
I know you do. You're the big boss now. I mean, me working under Dad and you taking over for Grandma. It's a crazy world, huh?
Is there something I can help you with?
There is. Listen, I know you haven't been talking to me, but I was hoping that you and I could have a fresh start. Even though I know you won't forgive me for things that happened between us in the past.
Things that happened between us. That's what you call what you did to me.
Whatever happened, we're family. And I'm hoping that over time, we can bury the past.
We can't.
I'm very happy for you and Jimmy anyway. In fact, I hope you don't mind, but I asked Jimmy if I could be his best man, and he said yes. So I'm going to be standing up there with you guys. Almost like I'm giving you away.
Randolph has that honor. And the only reason Jimmy said yes is because he doesn't know what you did to me. And I haven't told him because I know he would literally kill you and spend the rest of his life in prison.
I mean, the way I remember things...
Just get away from me, Philip. I don't want to see your face.
Dawn takes a seat at her desk as Philip walks out. A frown darkens her expression as she exhales softly. Sometime later, as a young woman holds Christy, Dawn's friend Trish fawns over the baby.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, she has her father's eyes.
Please do not bring him up on my wedding day.
Sorry.
Wearing a silk housecoat, Dawn turns around.
She can have his eyes as long as she didn't inherit anything else from him.
I know you don't like talking about him, but have you heard the latest about the great Michael Sutton?
I do try to avoid his press. But what? Did he get knighted by the queen?
Close. He got fired from his last Broadway show for being a fall-down drunk.
Apparently he's been a boozer for years and he just can't control it anymore.
Yeah. I'd like to think he's struggling with his conscience, but that assumes
he has one. Dawn?
It's time. Let's get your dress on.
Laura Jean walks out. Later, the wedding guests are assembled. The wedding party waits with a minister at the altar. Trish admires Dawn in her wedding dress.
I'll be right outside.
Wearing a pink bridesmaid's dress, Trish walks out. Dawn turns to face Laura Jean and Randolph.
Are you ready to give the bride away?
Randolph looks around.
Where's Mother?
Laura Jean turns to him.
Randolph? Don't go crazy on us now. Your mother is stone cold dead.
No.
Get a hold of yourself.
No. It is not right to begin without Mother.
Randolph! Randolph!
He walks out.
He's gonna ruin everything.
This is my fault. I should have known he wasn't up for it.
Oh,
you'll just have to give me away yourself.
I absolutely will not. That is not how it's done. Okay. All right. You just give me 1 minute. It's gonna be great, okay?
Moments later, outside, the wedding party and guests all rise from their seats on cue. Wearing a powder blue tuxedo with blue lapels, Jimmy stands next to Philip and another man at the altar. Appearing at the back of the room, Dawn enters on Bronson Alcott's arm. Wearing a simple white gown adorned with knit flowers and a veil, Dawn smiles nervously as she walks slowly, clutching her bouquet of flowers. Wearing a black tuxedo, dark-haired Bronson leads Dawn along the red carpet. Outside, Randolph stumbles through the trees, staring ahead blankly. Back at the ceremony, Clara Jean gives Dawn an icy stare from the front row. As Dawn takes Jimmy's hands, Trish looks on, smiling with the other two bridesmaids. Meanwhile, outside, Randolph now stands in front of Lillian's headstone, weeping.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Back at the ceremony, wedding guests all clap as Jimmy gives Dawn a kiss. Laura Jean and Bronson clap, smiling, as Dawn and Jimmy thrust their joined hands triumphantly. Outside, Randolph makes his way down a pathway in the trees, heading towards the shore. In the cemetery, a moss-covered angel statue holds its hands in prayer. Back in the hotel, the wedding reception is underway as Philip and Clara Jean stand with Laura Jean and Bronson, watching as Jimmy and Dawn share their first dance. They both look around wearing sour expressions. The rest of the wedding guests watch from the edge of the dance floor as Jimmy and Dawn cradle Christy between them, swaying to the music. Outside, Randolph has now reached the water's edge, the water lapping up on his polished black shoes. At the reception, Jimmy holds Dawn close on the dance floor. Meanwhile, Randolph steps forward, wading slowly into the cold ocean water, his face turned upwards towards the setting sun. On the dance floor, Jimmy gives Dawn a spin as Trisha and the other wedding guests watch. Outside, Randolph walks deeper and deeper into the inky water until he silently slips beneath the surface. Soon after, in the family cemetery, the family gathers solemnly, all wearing black, at Randolph's gravesite memorial service. Dawn suddenly tenses as Miss Emily and Lillian appear, scowling at her and Jimmy.
Hey, what's the matter? Okay?
Dawn looks again. Two unfamiliar silver-haired women now sit in Miss Emily and Lillian's place, amongst other members of the Cutler family.
I'm fine, just saying things.
On Jimmy and Dawn's wedding day, a rose bouquet blooms next to candles and gifts by the window as Jimmy carries Dawn over the threshold of their fancy bridal suite.
Very nice.
Jimmy puts Dawn down next to the bed where rose petals are arranged, forming a heart.
I think we're over the threshold.
Jimmy pulls off his jacket before turning back to his wife.
I had dope for putting my wedding dress back on for this.
No. I think it would have been bad luck.
As they kiss, Dawn begins unbuttoning Jimmy's vest.
I don't want to get your hopes up, but you, sir, are about to have the most amazing experience of your life.
You know what? I think...
Jimmy unzips her dress.
I'm already having it.
Turning to face Jimmy, Dawn smiles as she pushes him back onto the bed. Lying on top of Jimmy, Dawn plants a kiss on his lips. They begin to explore each other's body with their hands.
You gotta hear me out here, okay?
Okay.
I think we got a ways to.
Got you.
Jimmy rolls on top of her and they kiss passionately. kisses, Dawn's hand runs down Jimmy's back. Sometime later, on the bridal suite balcony, they both wear white bathrobes. Jimmy reclines in a chair at a small table where a sumptuous breakfast has been served. Holding a cup of coffee, Dawn looks out over the manicured hotel grounds.
Nice view.
Standing up, Jimmy joins Dawn at the balcony handrail.
Yeah, I'm just people watching.
Anybody interesting down there?
Not yet, but they could show up anytime, anywhere. You should know you may have married a loony, Jimmy.
I know. Good thing I married you for your body, not your brain.
Not kidding. I keep thinking I'm seeing Lillian and Emily. Like they're haunting me.
Yeah, they probably are. A couple of monsters. I mean, think of the things they did to you. You just shake things off that easy.
Yeah? What do you know about it, Dr. Freud?
Hey, I was in service, okay? I've seen guys come out of combat zones. I can tell you about haunted. You're just a little shell-shocked.
I don't know. It just seems like every bit of happiness I've ever known gets undercut by some tragedy. Randolph killing himself on our wedding day?
Yeah. Look at Randolph. He let his mother haunt him, too. Took him over. He let his ghost win. You don't have to.
Maybe I just need a little time.
Yeah.
As Dawn turns around to take in the view, Jimmy wraps his arms around her. The sun rises and sets with the passage of time. A digital alarm clock reads 6:30. Jimmy groggily reaches for the alarm as a young girl with long, curly brown hair bounces into the room, jumping on Dawn and Jimmy in bed. It's 1984. The little girl slides in between her mom and dad.
Christy, can't you wait half a second for me to open my eyes?
I'm hungry!
I thought I fed you breakfast yesterday.
That's the crazy thing about kids, you have to feed them every day or they get grumpy.
Okay, come on.
Jimmy rolls out of bed as Christy jumps on her dad's back. Sometime later in a doctor's office, Dawn sits on an examination table wearing a hospital gown. After scanning test results from her clipboard, the doctor turns to face her.
Just tell me, what is it? I know it's gotta be something.
Dawn, you're perfectly healthy.
But how can that be? Every time I come here, you tell me I'm healthy, so why can't I get pregnant? We've been trying for years.
Sometimes when your body's under a lot of stress, it can be difficult. Have you been feeling particularly stressed, Dawn?
Only every day and night of my life, if that counts.
Well, then I have to say, this one test result is damn curious. Because you are pregnant.
Framed by her wavy blonde hair, Dawn's face lights up. Sometime later, in an upscale home, Dawn, Christy, and Jimmy sit with Laura Jean and Bronson.
Mother, I don't need a party. Not everything is an occasion. People get pregnant all the time.
Well, yes, but this is...
Yes, I know. We're Cutlers, and the Cutlers don't do anything small.
Well, I'm glad you finally understand. Like it or not, we are in a family that is in the public eye.
But let's just keep this a private family thing.
I don't understand. Anytime I try to do something nice for you, you shoot it down.
Now, honey, I don't think she meant it like that. Yeah, Laura Jean Bronson's right. It's not that we don't appreciate the offer.
No, Jimmy. This is not you. This is Dawn. She never once thinks about something that I want.
Laura Jean storms out.
Laura Jean, come back now. We're all having such a lovely time.
Why does she always run off like that?
Grandma just doesn't like mess.
We should probably go home, hey?
Yeah.
Bronson, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to spoil things.
Oh, no. It's not your fault. Yeah, Laura Jean's just been feeling a little poorly lately.
Yeah, I know that routine all too well.
I wonder, Dawn, do you think you could stay for a while? And there's something I've been wanting to discuss with you. That's to do with your mother. I can have my chauffeur bring her home.
Jimmy nods.
Okay.
Later.
You know, it's funny. You and I have been acquainted all these years. I even walked you down the aisle, and yet I don't think we've ever had a one-on-one conversation.
I guess that's true.
I know you and your mother have had a strained relationship. I was wondering if there's anything I can do to help the two of you get closer.
I appreciate that, Bronson, but I think Mother and I are probably exactly where we need to be. Considering the fact that she willingly allowed me to be kidnapped as an infant, I think we're doing pretty good.
I understand. It's just your mother. Bless her. She's such a frail thing.
Well, there may be many things, but frail?
She is frail, Dawn. Her illnesses aren't always for, theatrics.
You know, since, we're finally having this one-on-one conversation, I should tell you that there's always been something that's bothered me about you and Mother.
Me and your mother. I am intrigued. Well,
certainly more Mother than you. It's just... Randolph wasn't in the ground for 2 weeks before she agreed to marry you. So something clearly was going on between you two while she was still married.
You probably didn't know that your mother and I were engaged at one time, before she ever met Randolph.
I did not.
I had a sister at the time who fell desperately ill. I found myself in a place where I had to tend to her needs before my own. And some years went by. Lord Jean had every right to lose patience eventually. And she married Randolph. And for a time, she was happy.
Yeah, until she got bored with him and seduced her father-in-law.
I can see why you'd come to that conclusion, Dawn. One thing you should know before anything else. Your mother never seduced your grandfather, Lillian's husband. There was nothing consensual about the night you were conceived.
In a flashback, Laura Jean appears on Bronson's doorstep, falling into his arms.
He forced himself on your mother.
In the flashback, Laura Jean collapses onto the floor.
Laura Jean, it's okay. Tell me what happened. And I was the only one she felt she could trust. She knew the police would be no help. Cutler name and money has too much power in these parts. When it was clear for all to see that Laura Jean was carrying a child, she told your grandmother the truth. You can imagine how she reacted. But in the fullness of time, they both agreed to pretend it was Randolph's. And he was none the wiser. But after you were born, your existence was too painful a reminder of William's betrayal, and Lillian had you taken away. She moved Laura Jean into the fanciest suite in the hotel as if that would be some consolation. I would hope that perhaps you could judge your mother a little less harshly knowing this.
She should have told me.
Yeah, that may be true, but I've told you.
Thank you, Bronson.
There's more. I continued to be a comfort to your mother. And then eventually, something more than a comfort. You see, Laura Jean and Randolph were never intimate again after that.
But she had Clara Jean after.
Yes. Clara Jean isn't Randolph's daughter either. She's mine. And, well, now you know all of it.
But Clara Jean doesn't know?
Oh, no. I wanted to be in her life. I think I would have been a good father. But Laura Jean begged me to stay away, so what could I do? I did try to be at least a friend to Clara Jean as she was growing up. But let's just say her temperament doesn't always make that easy.
I know that also.
You know, I am aware that your mother does sometimes cry wolf over her health. It's just... We don't want to wake up one day, find out she's no longer here, and have lingering regrets between the two of you.
You are so good for her, Bronson. And I'm really glad she has you.
Thank you.
Back at Cutler's Cove, Jimmy is on the phone as Dawn returns home.
Yeah, it's great. Actually, Dawn just came in, so I'll let her know. Okay, talk to you later.
Jimmy hangs up.
Boy, have I got a story to tell you.
You gotta let me go first. That was Dad. Apparently in prison, he worked with a private investigator, and they found her, Dawn. Our baby sister. They tracked down the family that adopted her. She's a bit older than Christy. They found Fern.
Dawn smiles. Jimmy and Dawn sit in a fancy restaurant as the family approaches.
Fern, these are the friends I wanted you to meet. This is James and Dawn. We'll say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
They all sit at the table.
It's such a pleasure to meet you, Fern.
Where are you from?
We are from Virginia.
How do you know my parents?
It's a long story.
I got time.
Fern, it's I have time, not I got time, like a bum would say. Now, be polite.
Mr. Osborne, it's really all right.
You two have any kids?
We have a daughter named Christy.
Oh, I like that name.
Sit up straight, Fern.
So you're really friends with my parents?
Yeah, for a while now.
So then why did you just call him Mr. Osborne?
Look, we really just wanted you to meet. You can say goodbye now, Fern.
It's really nice meeting you.
Wait a minute, don't go just yet. We'd love to ask you a little bit about yourself, Fern.
Shoot.
Do you have many friends?
I guess. I mean, most of them are jerks. My friend Sherry's okay, but she has like 1,000 brothers and sisters and always makes cracks at me for being an only child.
Oh, I'm sure she doesn't mean anything by that.
Yeah, she does. What's the matter, James?
Nothing. It's just, I actually had a sister that would be about your age.
What's so sad about that? She died or something?
Fern!
She's gone.
Okay, Fern, you can wait for us out front. We'll discuss your behavior later.
Can't wait.
As Fern rushes away, Mr. Osborne lashes out.
We had an agreement.
I didn't break our agreement. Okay, she thinks we're friends.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. You wanted to meet her? You've met her. Now, please, don't contact Fern ever again.
If you're threatening
Jimmy,
me,
Jimmy,
it's
not... Hey, they're leaving. Thank you so much, Mr. and Mrs. Osborne. Goodbye.
Sometime later, Dawn and Jimmy are back home.
It's getting windy. I think we're in for a storm tonight.
I can't get it out of my head how that guy talked to Fern.
Did you hear how Fern talked to him? I think she can carry her own.
Dawn joins Jimmy on the couch.
Do you think there's a way we could get her out of there?
Jimmy, I think you're just gonna have to learn to be thankful that she has a home. And a mother and a father.
And a brother. I think she deserves to know the truth.
She is safe and healthy. We'll see her again.
Yeah, we will. I better go fix the tarps on the shed.
You're going out now?
Yeah, last storm they got tossed around. It's okay. I'll get Phil to help me.
Elsewhere, with her brown hair primped up in true 80s style, Clara Jean wobbles into the darkened hotel lobby, sipping from a flask. Wearing a silky white pantsuit, she leans on the concierge desk as something across the lobby catches her eye. Leaving her flask on the desk, she wanders to the other side of the room. There, on a tray, sits a crystal decanter full of scotch. Lifting the top off, she pours a generous amount into a glass, then takes a sip. Her eyes glinting in the darkness, Clara Jean sets her jaw as she moves on. Elsewhere, Dawn stands in her suite looking out the window.
Dawn! Dawn, where are you?
Clara Jean appears at Dawn's door.
Hey, you can't just come barging in.
Just went to my room.
What the hell to do with all my things?
What are you talking about?
My room. Everything I own is gone.
Yes, I put everything in Bronson's house. That's where Mother lives now.
What gives you the right to put your filthy hands on my stuff?
Claire Jean, you haven't lived here in like a decade. You come once or twice a year. I can't have you just showing up whenever you want to antagonize my family.
You had no right to do this.
This is my hotel. And I am telling you to leave.
Clara Jean punches Dawn in the stomach. Dawn falls to the floor. Clara Jean kicks her viciously.
Why didn't you just stay gone?
She kicks her again.
You cursed everybody by coming back. Grandma's dead. And Daddy's dead. Why are you still alive?
Philip runs in with Jimmy. As Philip pulls Clara Jean back, a look of horror comes over him.
Dawn?
Jimmy runs to his wife's aid, collapsing on his knees. Sometime later, filtered sunlight shines into a hospital room as an IV drips into a tube. Jimmy sits by the bed as a very pale and bruised Dawn slowly regains consciousness.
Hi.
Grimacing, Hi. Dawn sits up.
What's going on?
You're in the hospital? Are you all right? Do you remember anything?
Clara Jean.
Yeah. Listen, Dawn. I have something to tell you. It's bad news.
Tears fill Dawn's eyes as her face contorts with grief.
Oh. There's no permanent damage. There's no permanent damage. Okay? You can still have kids. The doctor said so. Okay?
Why did I think anything could happen?
Hey. Look. So much good has happened.
Okay. A dark look comes over Dawn.
Where's Clara Jean? Tell me they arrested her.
She disappeared. No one knows where she went.
Of course she did. That psycho maid put on a threat. There's always another shoe to drop.
Yeah, well, for her sake, she better hope she never shows up again.
Jimmy puts his arms around Dawn.
Jimmy!
Dawn lies in the hospital. Dawn's vivacious friend, Trisha, stands in the doorway.
Yeah, it's me.
Trisha.
She puts aside her flowers.
Jimmy called. I came right down.
They hug.
Hi.
Trisha takes a seat as Dawn's eyes fill with tears.
I'm sorry. No, Dawn, you don't have to keep it together for me, okay? You can cry a whole lake if you need to.
Okay. I guess Jimmy told you about the baby.
Yeah, he did. But he also said that you're going to make a full recovery and that you're going to have lots more babies and that he loves you, mind, body, and soul. And I'm thinking, does this guy ever shut up about Dawn? And he could have at least asked how my flight was. Anyway, I'm here to cheer you up for when you're ready for it.
It might take a little more work this time.
I can tell you about the new show I'm dancing in and how much of an absolute disaster it's going to be.
No.
And if I can laugh about it, you can. Okay?
Really?
Yeah, my money says we close opening night. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna get through this, okay?
Yeah. I know. Here comes the lake.
I know.
Trisha takes Dawn into her arms. Sometime later, at Bronson's mansion, a now-recovered Dawn sits in front of the fireplace with her mother and Bronson.
Sweetheart, I understand how you feel. I am heartbroken at losing a grandchild, too. And I will never forgive Clara Jean for what she did. You can't let this destroy you.
No? Is a sad face not good for the Cutler brand?
Dawn, you know she didn't mean that.
I realize that I haven't been the mother to you that maybe you deserved. But if there is one thing that I have learned from my experiences, it's that life takes things away from you. But it's how you handle those hardships that makes you who you are.
We know you have the strength to survive this. Where you stumble, we both want you to know you can count on us for support. Now, you have a husband and a daughter who both love you and need you. Embrace that.
A small smile appears on Dawn's tear-stained face. On another day, Jimmy guides blindfolded Dawn to a house.
I hope the surprise isn't like a toaster or something, because you've really built it up with the whole blindfold and everything.
Jimmy removes Dawn's blindfold.
Okay. Where am I?
You're at your new house.
Dawn stares at Jimmy.
This house represents nearly 10 months of planning and sweating and sneaking around. I did have some help, but I'll tell you, it's been worth it, Dawn. To make your dream house.
Is this what you've been up to?
Mm-hmm. I figured we need to get out of the hotel, you know? Away from your ghosts. Finally have a place of our own. And you can still walk to work. You like it or love it?
I can't believe you did this for me.
Jimmy walks to the front steps of the house where a bottle of champagne sits on ice with two glasses. Returning to Dawn, he pours some.
I don't deserve you.
Yeah, probably not, but you're stuck with me.
Dawn smiles as Jimmy raises his glass.
To fresh starts.
To fresh starts?
After clinking their glasses, they both gaze at the house. Sometime later, they return to Cutler's Cove, where Mrs. Boston waits.
I've been looking for both of you.
Why? What's going on?
A young girl sits in a chair.
Fern? How did you get here?
Oh, hi. I took a bus.
Okay, a bigger question. Why are you here?
Because I know who you are. I found my birth certificate at my father's desk. My real name is Longchamp, and your name is Longchamp. I already knew I was adopted.
Do your parents know you're here?
No, I just took off.
Okay, you understand we'll have to call them immediately.
No, please don't. I don't want to go back there. It's my father.
What about your father?
Nothing. He just does bad things to me sometimes.
Fern, you can tell us.
Fern throws her arms around Dawn.
Fern,
listen to me, okay? You're safe here. Dawn and I are your family, right?
Fern nods, then buries her face in Dawn's chest.
Call the lawyer.
Yeah.
Later, Fern plays with Christy.
That was fun. Let's play it again, Fern.
I told you, call me Aunt Fern. If you don't, I'm just gonna pretend I don't hear you.
You're not that much older than me.
Well, I'm still your aunt. New game. Truth or dare. You have to pick one.
Dare?
Okay. I dare you. You know the downstairs pantry where all the liquor bottles are?
Hey! No. Stop.
We were just playing, Dawn.
We'll play something different.
Fern stands up.
Come on, Christy. Let's go to the beach.
Christy looks back at her mom before following Fern out. Later, Dawn, dressed elegantly in pink, walks the hotel grounds. Waving at a passing couple, she suddenly freezes. Philip stands, instructing the hotel valet to park his sports car. Beside him, her back to Dawn, is a woman with curly blonde hair, wearing a bright pink dress.
Dawn, we were just going to come look for you. Betty Ann, this is my sister.
Dawn.
Betty Ann turns around.
Hi.
Hi.
Betty Ann, Philip never goes out of his way to introduce me to his lady friends, so, you must be something special.
Well, gosh, I hope so, because we just got married.
We eloped. Can you beat that?
You eloped?
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's crazy, right?
I've told you about Betty Ann. We dated in college.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
And then we ran into each other at the reunion, and everything just came flooding back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nothing has ever changed.
Mm.
That's great. I'm really happy for you guys.
My goodness.
What?
Am I the only one seeing this? Look at us. We look exactly the same.
Oh. Well, you're both blondes, I guess.
That's only because you got me to dye my hair, but my goodness. You know, we could be sisters.
Who knows? Maybe we were separated at birth.
Well, it was really nice to meet you. Do you mind pointing out where the powder was?
Oh, it's right in there on the left.
Thank you.
Of course.
As Betty Ann walks away in her bright pink heels, Dawn turns to Philip.
You, know Mother's going to kill you. You're her only son, and you cheated her out of throwing you a big wedding. She lives for stuff like that.
She's gonna love Betty Ann. And just so you know, I never told her about us. She has no idea you used to be my girlfriend.
I was never your girlfriend, Philip.
And they sure acted like you were.
All right. Listen to me. The only reason I agreed to let you take over for Randolph is because I didn't want to have to explain to Jimmy why I wouldn't let a Cutler work at the Cutler Hotel. And you know that's more for your benefit than mine. But one more crack like that and the gloves are off. Do you understand?
Damn, what's eating you?
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Dawn heads inside.
Whatever you say, boss.
Inside, Dawn talks to Mrs. Bradley at the check-in desk.
Over $200 in petty cash.
You don't think a guest took it?
Well, I hate to make any rash accusations, but this has never happened before. I hate to say it, but the only thing unusual of late is that Fern's been helping out at the front desk.
Fern? What do you mean?
She came to me. She said she was eager to learn how a hotel runs, so I let her help me with the little things. But then yesterday, she seemed to completely lose interest. And that's when I noticed the money went missing. I don't have any proof, mind you, but it's just a lot of money to go missing.
Thank you.
Later.
What? She told you I took it?
No. She said you had been helping her out and that the money disappeared. I'm asking if you know anything about it.
Miss Bradley's just a damn rat.
Fern slumps into the couch.
You're not answering my question, Fern.
Why do you hate me, Dawn? What did I ever do to you?
Nobody hates you, Fern. Look, if you took the money and you admit it now, you won't be punished for it. You'll just have to give it back.
My father accused me of things I didn't do all the time. No, you're gonna tell Jimmy so he'll hate me too. He'll abandon me just like my real father did.
He didn't abandon you, Fern. I told you what happened.
Dawn joins Fern on the couch.
Okay, look. Jimmy doesn't need to know about this. I just want you to be honest with me.
So, you promise you won't tell him?
I promise I won't tell Jimmy.
You just made a promise, Dawn. If you tell Jimmy what you promised not to, I'll hate you forever.
So, did you take the money?
Nope.
Dawn looks gobsmacked as Fern walks away.
Fern, let's go see your new bedroom.
Moving into the new house, Christy follows Fern upstairs.
I spoke to Mr. Updike today. The Osbournes are going to stop fighting us for Fern, so I figured we'd tell her together.
They don't want her back?
I think they don't want her accusations to be in the public eye. But they didn't give a specific reason.
Christy, get out! This one's my room.
Who says?
I can think of a reason or two.
Come on. Let's go see if the lock on our bedroom door works.
In the middle of the day.
Babies don't make themselves.
Sounds like a wager to me.
Tossing bedding onto Jimmy's moving box, Dawn runs upstairs. Jimmy follows her. In the bedroom, Dawn begins unpacking.
How has so much of my stuff gone AWOL? We moved half a mile. Explain this to me. How does stuff just disappear?
Maybe some ants came and took all your stuff.
Dawn gives Jimmy a look.
I'm just saying the simplest answer is usually the truth.
I'm serious, Jimmy. I'm missing a nightgown. I'm missing a bottle of perfume. A few shoes.
Are you gonna blame Fern?
I didn't say anything except they've gone missing.
Why is she always your first suspect?
Why do you always take Fern's side over mine? I mean, you see what she's doing, don't you? She's pitting us against each other.
Oh, no, she's not. She's
just... Yes, she is, Jimmy. Open your eyes.
Oh. So I'm blind now.
Yes, you are. When it comes to Fern, you just see what you want.
Or maybe it's because you need a villain in your life. I mean, who is Dawn without her tormentors? And maybe it's finally hitting you that Lillian or Emily, they can't hurt you anymore. So you blame poor Fern. Like, honestly.
Now that you're going to take back.
I don't hear you denying it.
Sometime later, Dawn stands on the beach at Cutler's Cove, a troubled look on her face.
I don't hear you denying it. I mean, who are you without your tormentors anyways?
Standing to Dawn's left, Miss Emily stands, her arms crossed.
If it were me, I'd take a strap to that girl.
Didn't you torture me enough in real life?
You'll never be rid of me.
That doesn't mean I have to take your advice.
Philip's wife, Betty Ann, makes her way up the beach.
Dawn? I'm sorry, am I interrupting something?
No, of course not. What's going on?
It's Philip.
A tear trickles down Betty Ann's cheek.
Ann, hey. It's okay. What did he do?
I know, we don't know each other that well. I'm really sorry, I just don't know where else to turn to.
It's okay.
He's acting so strangely. He's disappearing at night. The other night I followed him. He had gone to your old suite in the hotel. And he had crawled into your old bed and fallen asleep.
In my old bed? What, was he sleepwalking?
I don't know. Maybe, but why all of a sudden?
If he's never done it before, I don't know, has he been under a lot of stress recently?
We weren't going to announce it yet, but we just found out that we're pregnant.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's gotta be it, right? A father to be having a hard time sleeping seems pretty normal to me.
What if he changed his mind? What if he doesn't want to have a baby with me?
Patty Ann. Finding out that you're going to be a daddy is a big deal. I am sure it's just nerves.
You sure?
Yes, absolutely. And hey, by the way, congratulations.
They walk together.
Thank you. You know what? You're right. You're totally right. I'm sorry to bother you.
Hey, what are sisters-in-law for?
Sometime later, Dawn enters the suite she used to share in the hotel with Jimmy. Opening some drawers in the large dark stained dresser, she then moves towards the bed. The bedclothes appear disturbed, and there is something underneath the covers. Lifting up the sheets, she finds a blue nightgown buried underneath. With a furrowed brow, she sniffs it. Then, turning to the bedside table, she finds a small bottle of perfume. Elsewhere, outside a service entrance, Fern shoots dice with two young male employees. Dawn appears in the doorway.
Fern! What? Inside. Now.
With a petulant look on her face, Fern walks inside.
What do you think you're doing out there with those guys?
We're hanging out, what?
You're gambling. And with people much too old for you to be hanging out with.
I'm also up $10. We're just shooting some dice. What are you, the FBI?
You expect to be treated like some long-lost princess.
Dawn grabs her arm. Flashback.
Do you understand that?
In the present, Dawn releases her grip.
I'm sorry, Fern. I shouldn't have grabbed you like that.
Damn straight. What the hell, Dawn?
Pushing past Dawn, Fern charges out of the room. Dawn finds Jimmy at home in their bedroom, packing a duffel bag. Dawn walks in, clutching the blue nightgown in her arms. Jimmy gives an apologetic smile.
You're gonna hug me and let me apologize? Kick me first.
Dawn smiles as they hug it out.
I was out of line, Dawn. I'm sorry.
Forgive him.
You found your stuff?
Yeah. And it wasn't Fern. I just, misplaced it. You're packing. What's going on?
Just a quick trip. Big surprise when I come back.
I've had enough surprises.
Trust me. This one's good. Come on.
Night falls. Dawn slumbers in bed. She slowly wakes. It's 11:57.
I needed to see you tonight.
It's Philip at the door.
Philip, do you have any idea what time it is?
I'm gonna be a daddy.
I heard. Shh. No, no, go home now.
Oh, but did you hear the best part? We're having twins. Twins.
Okay, you are so drunk. Go home to your wife and sleep this off.
He grabs Dawn.
I still think about you, Dawn.
Okay, go away.
Why can't we be together? Philip? Why can't you be my wife?
No! Philip, Chrissy and Bernard are right upstairs.
Dawn.
Please.
I love you, Dawn. We both want this.
No, I don't! No!
Dawn! Dawn, I know you still have new feelings for me. Okay, we'll make our own baby. Dawn, it's okay.
He pushes up her nightgown.
Just relax. You know I like the rough, but just relax, Dawn.
Grabbing her wedding photo, she clocks him. Holding a shard of glass from the frame, she pushes him against the piano, the glass against his cheek.
Dawn, you're hurting me.
Get the hell out of my house.
Leaving a gash under his eye, Dawn backs off. As Philip stumbles out of the house, Dawn rushes to the door, locking it. Daytime. Dawn makes cookies with Christy and Fern in the kitchen.
Christy, look!
That's real good, Fern.
I should know what I'm doing, huh?
Dawn, you see?
Dawn smiles distractedly.
Daddy's home.
The girls smile at Jimmy in the doorway.
That's all I get, eh?
You were only gone for 2 days.
Fair enough. I have a surprise for you guys.
Jimmy steps aside, revealing a young boy with brown curly hair.
Well, it's not a puppy.
Everybody, this is Gavin. Gavin is my dad's son, which means he's my half-brother and your half-brother, Fern.
Our dad wanted to see you, Fern, but he couldn't get away.
Gavin, it is so nice to meet you. This is Christy and Fern. I'm Dawn. I'm Jimmy's wife.
Hi. Gavin, do you want to play with us?
Jimmy nods at Gavin encouragingly.
Come on, Gavin. I'll show you my room.
The kids run upstairs.
Oh, hi.
Jimmy hugs Dawn.
Dad couldn't come?
No, his parole would allow him to cross the state line, but he sends love and apologies. He knew you wanted to meet Gavin's.
Cookies.
Jimmy heads to the kitchen. As night falls, Dawn reads a book on the couch.
Who is at the door, sweetie?
It's
your favorite person in the world.
As Clara Jean enters with a man, Dawn stands up.
Christy, go to your room, please. You are either super ballsy or super stupid coming back here, Claire Jean. I could have you arrested for what you did to me.
Oh, I think you want to hear me out before involving the police.
Get your miserable ass off my property.
That's just the thing. Maybe it's not your property for long. You see my friend Charlie here. He's a businessman, and he's had a lot of legal dealings in the past.
I can tell that by just looking at him.
Clara Jean explained to me that your grandmother Lillian always wanted Clara Jean to run the hotel after she passed.
Oh, that's awfully sweet. So I suppose I should just hand over the entire operation to Clara Jean and then we're done here?
There's more than one way to skin a cat. If you'd rather, this whole thing could be settled with a significant cash component.
Listen, kids, I don't have a lot of fond memories when it comes to Lillian, but if there's one thing I certainly recall, it's that she wasn't a dummy, especially when it came to business. Lillian wouldn't have trusted Claire Jean to wash her car, let alone run Cutler's Cove.
So you say. But you see, Claire Jean's father, Randolph, was next in line. And Claire Jean is his natural daughter. Whereas you are not.
I told you that I'd make you pay one day, Don. It's okay to feel bad about it. Oh, I don't feel bad about that. I do feel bad about how much I'm going to enjoy the remainder of this conversation, though. There's another shoe that's about to drop. It's a secret, and it's not really mine to tell, but I mean, your legal counsel here is kind of forcing my hand.
I can't wait.
The thing is, Cutler's Cove belongs to the Cutlers. And there's only one Cutler in this room.
Only one legitimate one.
Only one, period. Your father, Randolph, turns out he isn't exactly your father.
I think you're mixed up, Dawn. You're the bastard in the family, not me.
Might want to go run down and talk to our mother and her husband, Bronson. His last name is Alcott. You have his nose, by the way.
Nice try, Dawn.
You're an Alcott, Clara Jean, not a Cutler. If I'm lying, I will give you the hotel. You have a witness here with Mr. Charlie. But if I'm not lying, I never want to see your hateful face ever again.
If you think that you can...
Out, both of you. We're done.
Her cocky smile, now replaced with an icy stare, Clara Jean leaves with Charlie. Daytime. Dawn walks downstairs wearing a mint green dress as Jimmy cuts vegetables in the kitchen.
I know that face. Doesn't bode well.
Yeah, I just got off the phone with the principal at Fern's new school.
Did she kill someone?
They said she's being disruptive in class and not finishing her homework.
She's a new kid. You remember growing up being the new kid, always? The new kid's always getting picked on. She just needs time to adjust.
Okay, you're gonna listen to me. You have been making excuses for Fern for too damn long. This has got to stop if you want us to have a happy marriage.
Don, it's not about her.
No, we are the adult in her life right now. If we don't speak together, then nothing is going to change. It's hurting us, and it's certainly not good for Fern either.
What's not good for Fern?
Fern, wearing makeup and a purple t-shirt, appears in the kitchen.
We hear you're disruptive at school.
Who says?
The principal called us, Fern.
You poured glue in a classmate's hair.
She stuck her tongue out at me.
Why'd you do that?
Doesn't matter.
Listen, not everybody's gonna like you. That's okay. But it is your job to deal with it better. Is that clear?
Yes, Jimmy. I promise to do better.
Great. You can start by doing that homework.
Dawn and Jimmy share a smile as Fern complies. Later, darkness has fallen as Dawn checks Fern's homework, spread out across the dining room table. With Fern nowhere to be seen, Dawn calls out.
Fern!
Closing up Fern's binder, Dawn reaches into the teen's backpack, finding several magazines. They all detail stories about a dark, seedy subculture.
What garbage are you reading?
One article is titled, "My Stepfather Beat Me."
What?
Another quote reads, "He clamped his hand over my mouth."
She lied.
And he would always eavesdrop on me. Later.
Fern, just admit it. You made everything up.
You had no right to go through my things.
We spoke to your parents and apologized for the terrible mistake of believing your story that you stole from these magazines.
Please don't send me back there. I admit I lied, but they're both so mean to me.
Fern, they are your parents. You need to be told no sometimes. That's not being mean.
Listen. The Osbournes agreed to let you stay with us for a while. They think that maybe Jimmy and I will be able to get you better under control.
Really? So I don't have to go back?
If you stop lying, and stealing. And any of this bad behavior, it needs to stop. Okay, do you understand?
Fern nods earnestly.
Now go to bed.
Can I just stay up?
Fern!
Fern marches upstairs, leaving Dawn and Jimmy alone in the living room.
You were right. I was wrong. But you, baby, you have this beautiful thing called class, so you'd never rub it into my face.
Oh. We'll see.
Okay.
On another day at Cutler's Cove, Dawn walks downstairs to the lobby, wearing a flowing, lilac-colored dress with long sleeves. Mrs. Bradley holds the reception phone.
Oh, she's right here. Dawn. Call for you. Says he's an old friend.
Dawn Longchamp?
Dawn. It's Michael. Michael Sutton.
Elsewhere, Michael Sutton sits in an upscale seafood restaurant nursing a cocktail. His hair has darkened, and he sports a 5 o'clock shadow. Dawn enters the restaurant clutching her daughter Christy's hand. Spotting them, Michael springs to his feet.
Christy, this is an old teacher of mine, Mr. Sutton.
I can't tell you how nice it is to meet you, Christy.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Wow. You're as beautiful as your mother.
Okay, here's your book. I'll just be a moment, sweetie.
Can I get a soda?
As Christy rushes away, Dawn's face darkens.
I'm only staying a couple minutes.
I'm just glad you came at all.
They both take a seat.
Wow. She is really beautiful.
Yeah, just remember our agreement. She doesn't know you're her father, and she never will.
I understand. It's really good to see you, Dawn. I heard about your success with the hotel, and you're married.
Yes, very happily married.
Scotch and soda, please.
Just a cappuccino, please.
The waitress walks away.
I know you remember, but I think I took you for your first cappuccino.
Yeah, what a magical day that was. I wonder if you remember getting me pregnant and then abandoning me.
What I did was so wrong and reprehensible, but I did fall in love with you, Dawn. That was real. Still, what I did was cold and unforgivable.
Yes, it was cold and unforgivable.
Michael reaches for Dawn's hand.
Goodbye, Michael.
Dawn, wait. Give me a minute. I don't know if you've heard, but I've fallen on hard times.
Yeah, I can see that.
My phone hasn't rung in a long time. I haven't worked in years, and this is very embarrassing, but I was hoping that you might lend me some money.
On top of everything else, you're asking me for money? Goodbye, Michael.
That little girl is... She's mine, too. And I have rights.
And?
And if this went to trial in some custody case, it might look like you've been keeping her from me all these years. You know what? My name might be in the papers again. My phone might start ringing again. But yours would be in the papers, too. And so would Christie's.
Dawn can only stare at Michael. At Cutler's Cove, Dawn sits in her darkened office. Her checkbook lies open on the desk, her pen poised. Suddenly, Lillian Carter looms over her, her arms crossed.
Once a victim, always a victim.
Dawn puts a hand to her temple.
Why would you even think about paying that man? I would never, ever pay a blackmailer.
Yeah, well, I make a point to do the opposite of anything you would do.
You do? Well, look at how you're running this hotel and your reputation as a tough cookie now, but maybe, just maybe, you're successful because you do many, many things exactly the way I did them.
I am not a cutthroat monster.
No. But you're young. You have plenty of time to learn.
Miss Emily appears.
Her type can never learn. She's a weak, sinning whore, forsaken by God.
She was raised by sinners. She doesn't know anything else.
You can whine for the rest of your life about our mistreatment of you, but if you didn't get anything useful from it, well, then that's just a waste of some perfectly good suffering.
Dawn's expression changes, seemingly deep in thought. The next day, dressed in an elegant taupe-colored suit, Dawn sits in the seafood restaurant. A cup of cappuccino sits next to her. Holding a small manila envelope, she looks up as Michael Sutton lumbers in.
I take it that's for me?
Michael, if I give you the money, I need some assurance that you're not going to keep blackmailing me.
Assurance? What? My word?
Well, I've done that in the past and it didn't pan out so well, did it?
Do you really think I'm dumb enough to put anything in writing? You have no alternative.
I just thought of an alternative. I can just not pay you.
That wouldn't be very wise, Dawn.
When it comes to you, Michael, I've never made a wise decision. Why break a trend?
Do you want to go to court?
Would you really lie in court?
Well, Dawn, when it comes to you, I've only told lies. Why break a trend?
A man approaches.
Dawn? Dawn Longchamp. I thought that was your voice I heard.
Oh, Mr. Updike. This is a really good friend of mine, Michael Sutton. Michael, this is Mr. Updike.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
My lawyer. Michael here is a big Broadway and recording star.
Yes, I'm a great admirer.
You probably have some of his albums.
Well, none of his older work, but I do have his latest recording.
Mr. Updike reaches under the table, recovering a small voice recorder, which he places on the table.
I really have to dash. I'll leave you two gentlemen to get to know one another. Michael here can take care of the check.
Dawn tosses a piece of paper on the table.
My daughter made that for you.
A child's rendering of a check.
You've changed, Dawn.
You noticed.
Dawn strides out of the restaurant, leaving the two men alone at the table. Back at Cutler's Cove, the sun shines in a brilliant blue sky overhead, making the water sparkle. Clara Jean walks with boyfriend Charlie out onto a rocky bluff, overlooking the breaking waves below. Taking a big sip from her silver flask, Clara Jean shakes her head.
Nothing about this is right.
What are you talking about?
You think stupid. I'm talking about Dawn. She ruined my life.
You know what? I'm going back.
No! You're supposed to help me fix this.
Will you just drop this already? I'm getting sick of this.
Getting sick of you.
She pushes Charlie. He almost falls to the water below.
What the hell, Clara Jean?
Help me fix this.
There's nothing to fix. She beat you. She's smart. You're not. She's a worker and you are a lazy slob.
Who do you think you're talking to? Do you know who my family is?
You're so drunk you forgot you aren't even one of them? That Dawn is the Cutler? You are nobody.
Charlie sidesteps Clara Jean as she plunges to the rocks below.
Clara Jean?
As the waves crash against the shore, Charlie peers over the cliff before looking around, panicked. Sometime later, the family gathers around Clara Jean's freshly dug grave. Laura Jean weeps.
What more is going to be taken from me?
Sitting next to Philip and Betty Ann, Bronson Alcott comforts Laura Jean. Philip casts his gaze towards Dawn, sitting with Jimmy and Christy across from him, the scar under his eye still an angry red. As he gently fingers it, an almost imperceptible smile escapes Dawn's lips. She looks upwards into the face of one of the statues standing silently in the Cutler graveyard. At home during the day, Jimmy walks Dawn to the door.
You sure this is a good idea?
I have one less ghost I need out of my head.
Later, they arrive at Miss Emily's decrepit mansion.
I thought I heard somebody pull up.
Luther, I don't know if you still remember me, Don Cutler.
Of course I remember. What brings you back to these parts? Luther.
Jamie.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
I actually came to see Miss Emily.
Oh, well, she's out there in the field.
Where?
Well, I mean, underneath it. She went toes up on us about 3 months back.
Oh. Well, she's lucky she didn't live long enough to hear what I had to say to her.
What happened?
Well, she went and poisoned herself on accident.
Flashback.
You remember how she used to make all our food bitter with vinegar? Well, that old crow had herself a hidden stash of sugar for her tea at nighttime. But that night, she reached for rat poison instead of her sugar. Craziest thing, I tell you. I found her the next morning. Skin gone, blue. Lord have mercy. Terrible way to go.
My God, what did you do?
I loaded her up in the wheelbarrow, dug up a hold, and plugged her in. The way I see it, she's a devil's problem now, poor fella.
How did Charlotte take it?
Well, it bothered her a whole lot more than it did me, I tell you. I ain't danced a jig since I was a young man. I'm surprised I still knew how. Anyhow, why don't y'all come inside the house? Charlotte would love to see you.
Luther leads them inside.
Charlotte!
Dawn! You came back!
They share a hug. Oh,
Charlotte. Hi, I'm just as surprised as you are. It's good to see you. This whole place looks better than I remember.
Luther's been busy sprucing everything up.
Yeah, Miss Emily always thought making the place look better was like a sin or something. I don't know, I never understood. But she's gone now, and I was thinking about clearing out the brush and, you know, planting a crop of one thing or another.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
This place has been dead too long. Please, make it look like it used to.
Miss Cutler, since this is your property now, I was wondering if you would mind if I moved out of the barn and in here to be, well, closer to my Charlotte.
Of course you can. As long as it's all right with Charlotte.
It's surely okay with me. I love Luther. I always loved Luther. Emily just never understood. She's deader than a squash cat, and she ain't got no say on none of us anymore.
As soon as I get back, I'm going to sit with my lawyer and make sure you two both can stay here as long as you want, indefinitely.
Luther pulls Charlotte close.
We'd be greatly obliged.
I'd also like to offer a monthly stipend, if that's okay.
What now? What's that?
Just some money for the both of you. It's okay.
Oh, no. No. Miss Dawn, just letting us stay on here is nice enough of you. Luther and I can take care of everything else.
Well, if you ever need it.
No. But God bless you for the offer.
Amen.
Later, darkness is falling as Jimmy leads Dawn out to their car.
Do you regret not having a chance to confront Emily?
You know what? No. I didn't need to see her. I survived both her and Lillian and somehow ended up better for it.
Yeah.
And you still have everything they tried to take away from you.
I'm not gonna let them haunt me anymore.
They're out of your head finally?
No. But they're only memories now.
Dawn looks over her shoulder at the mansion.
I don't think I'll be seeing either one of them again.
Later, as friends and family gather at home, Christy plays piano as Dawn sings.
I was hoping long before I knew that I'd find somebody just like you.
Sitting in a chair listening, Jimmy smiles contentedly.
I was waiting for love so true, so this late bloomer could finally bloom.
I think I finally figured out how to live the best life I can. I just have to cherish the people that bring me happiness. Continue to be forgiving. And use life's challenges as a way to grow stronger.
Fern reaches into someone's purse, pulling out some cash.
This is why there is forever trust. drawing circles linked together. And this is why there is forever, just to be together, just to be together.
After the party, Dawn sits at the piano as Jimmy puts his hands on her shoulders.
I've been thinking.
Oh, no.
Jimmy takes a seat on the piano stool next to his wife.
I've been thinking that we have everything we ever wanted. You, me, Christy, Fern, God help us. Why do we need a child of our own?
Mr. James Gary Longchamp, thank you for that perfect introduction.
Her eyes brimming with tears, Dawn puts one of Jimmy's hands on her belly.
You're gonna be a daddy.
Oh, really?
They kiss.
No way.
Text. V.C. Andrews Dawn will continue in Chapter 4. Midnight Whispers. Johnson Production Group presents V.C. Andrews Dawn, Chapter 3, Twilight's Child. Cast: Dawn, Brett Basinger, Jimmy, Kobe Clark, Michael, Joey McIntyre, Lillian, Donna Mills, Christy, Emma Oliver, Fern, Piper Scott, Clara Jean, Elise Malloway, Trisha, Corey Woods, Randolph, Jason Cermak, Laura Jean, Miranda Frigon, Bronson, Matthew James Dowden, Philip, Dane Schioler, Emily, Jennifer Higgin, Mrs. Boston, Tanya Dixon Warren, Betty Ann, Chelsea Reist, Mrs. Bradley, Madeline Kelders, Charlie, Sean Eves Lassard, Mr. Nussbaum, Jerry South, Mr. Updike, Jan Boss, Clayton, Jason DeLine, Luther, Dean Redman. Casting by Judy Lee. Production designer, Mo Curtin. Director of photography, Michael Blundell, CSC. Edited by Jason Nielsen. Composer, Sean William. Consultant, Andrew Niederman. Supervising producer, Oliver DeCagney. Executive producer, Timothy O. Johnson. Executive producer, Stacey Mandelberg. Executive producers, Michelle Weiss, Meredith Finn. Produced by Naveed Sufi. Based on a novel by V.C. Andrews. Written by Richard Blaney and Gregory Small. Directed by Jackie Gould. Stunt coordinator, Chad Sane. Associate producers, Thomas Stanford, Tim Spence, Grant O'Kane, Darren Robson. Production manager, Darren Robson. Set decorators, Denis Simard, Aaron White. Props master, Juan P. Gonzalez. Art director, Babak Golkar. Graphic designer, Andrew Talbot. Hairstylist, Tara Haddon Watts. Key makeup artist, Sophia K. Phillips. Costume designer, Jaden Devine. Camera operators, Scott Kimber, Joshua J. Crippen. Special effects coordinator, Peter Vandergrint. Location manager, Robin D. McDonald. Production sound mixer, Brett J. Swarder. Logo, Johnson Production Group.